Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 11. John, chapter 11. I'll give you just a minute to find it. And once you do, if you'll stand with me in honor of God's holy word. John, chapter 11, starting there in verse 1. John 11, verse 1, the Lord tells us, "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let us go again to Judea.' Again, the disciples said to him, 'Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of the world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them.' After saying this, he told them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him.' The disciples said to him, 'Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right.' Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.' Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us, Lord, to heed it and listen. Lord, you said, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." Help it to sanctify us, Lord, that we may be set apart for your glory, set apart to live for you. Thank you, Father. Give me the words to preach this morning, and give us all hearts and minds and ears to listen as you would have us know from your word. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We come here to the Gospel of John, chapter 11 and verse 1, and we start again in verse 1. "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha." Lazarus, Mary, and Martha was people that Jesus was really close to. They were dear friends to him. It's amazing we see this in the scriptures. That Jesus was God, very God, the only begotten Son of God. John chapter 1 tells us, "Through him all things were created." This is God's Son. He wrote the Bible. He gave the Word. He's the Word made flesh. He created me, you. He created all things. And he came down, as we just celebrated, born of the Virgin Mary. He came down and lived a perfect life. But as he's living this perfect life, he was a person. Jesus walked, he talked, he got hungry, he made friends, he was joyful, he experienced sadness. You know, we can never tell God that he didn't know what it's like to live down here below, because God did. He lived down here below. He died for our sins while he was here. He says here, Mary was the one whom anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Remember that wonderful story of the gospel where she, such humility and such love for the Lord. Remember her. It was her brother Lazarus was ill. Some of Christ's very close friends. We can be Christ's friends every day. He ought to be our best friend. We can come to him. He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I'm his own, as the hymn in the garden tells us. Lord, help it to be so. In verse 3 says, "So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.'" The one who he loved, his dear friend, was ill. In verse 4, "But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.'" Now notice here, he said this illness does not lead to death. That's not the end of it. Christ could see past it. He knew he was going to die in a few days, but he could see far beyond that. He could see the greater purpose. But it doesn't say that Jesus said, Lazarus, it's time to lay down and die. It was not commanded of God. God didn't say, you're done for, buddy. No, he allowed that to happen in his life. The Bible says that God works all things for the good of those who love God. He works them all things for the good of us who love him, for his children. Lord, whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. The end of it was not death. It was just a part of it. Rather, it is for God's glory. God took his death that was going to be temporary and used it for his glory, used it for his betterment. So many times in our lives, we'll have hard times. Troublesome pestilence surround us here below. We'll have good days, bad days, but everything in between God will use for his glory and for our betterment, to make us closer to him, make us more holy for our good. The Bible tells us we can believe it. Rather, it is for God's glory, says, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it, to bring God glory through it. We ought to live our lives to bring God glory. Everything should be about the Lord in our lives. If we can't do it for the Lord, we need to get that out of our lives. We ought to be about his glory, maybe glorified through us. Verse 5, accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, he loved them, it says. He loves me, he loves you. But sometimes bad things will happen in our lives, just like old Job. We need to stay faithful to the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We need to stay faithful to him, trusting what he's going to do through the good and the bad in our lives. Martha and her sister Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. He didn't immediately get over there. He stayed a little while. Verse 7, then, after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you. If you'll read in the preceding chapter, in verse 31, it says, the Father and I are one, is what Christ told him. Verse 31, the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus replied, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these are you going to stone me? The Jews took up stones. They're going to stone him. Just the preceding chapter, just a short while ago, so back in chapter 11, just as they said, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you. And are you going there again? That's a mighty painful thing to be stoned in big old rocks. But Jesus, over and over, when they took up stones, he passed through them because it was not yet his time to die. He died the greatest death on the cross for our redemption. He says here, they were going to stone you, and are you going there again? Verse 9, Jesus answered, are not there 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. We have Jesus as the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them. We don't have to be stumbling around down here below. No matter what, we can walk in the light of Jesus. No matter what's going on, no matter if those people are going to stone him or stone the people of God, we can walk in the light of Christ throughout the world, because the light is not in them, he says. They're going to walk and stumble in the night. He said in verse 11, after saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him. Verse 12, the disciples said to him, Lord, if he was falling asleep, he will be all right. Isn't that funny? It just went right over their heads. They didn't get it. So often we're the same way. We don't get what the Lord's trying to tell us, but he's patient with us, long-suffering, and if we'll listen to him and his word, he'll teach us. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he was all right, if he's asleep, he'll be all right. In verse 13, Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death. That's one thing I love about the Gospel of John. Over and over, he fills in the gaps to tell us what was going on. He says here, Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. For a child of God, what is death? It's passing from this life to the next. It's like falling asleep, and then you wake up. We fall asleep from this world, and we wake up in the next. Over and over again, you'll see that in the scripture about those who sleep. Let's talk about the saints who have passed on before us. Fall asleep from this world and wake up in God's world with him in the New Jerusalem someday. We will all be together, he says here. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He told him plain as can be what's going on. Praise God for that. He tells us so plainly in the scriptures many times about what's going on in our lives. If we'll listen, if we'll heed, as Revelation says, he that has a ear, listen. Let us listen to God. He says here in verse 15, for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. Jesus said he was glad he wasn't there to heal Lazarus of his sickness at that very moment, because timing. He waited for the timing so that you may believe. It was for us, for them, even for Lazarus, to bring God glory and to bring them comfort. More fully trust him. He says, but let us go to him. Let's now go over there. In verse 16, Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Praise God, we ought to have that same outlook so often. We ought to be willing to die to ourselves and do whatever God's purpose is. Whatever God sees fit in our lives, we ought to be willing and submissive to it. Let us also go, that we may die with him. Die to self. Take up our cross and follow him. In verse 17 of this chapter, come here when Jesus has arrived. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. He'd been in there. They'd done buried him 4 days. Verse 18. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away. In verse 19, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother, their poor old brother. He'd died, been buried in the graveyard 4 days, deader than can be, he says here. Verse 20, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. She went out there to meet him. Verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. What a wonderful thing of faith there she showed forth. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died, because she believed that he could heal. But how far can he heal? In verse 22, but even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. She trusted the Lord Jesus. We ought to trust the Lord Jesus. I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him in our lives. Do we know that the Lord will give Jesus Christ whatever he asks of him? Do we truly trust that the Lord has all things working for our good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose? He's called us and we love him because he first loved us. Do you truly love him? Do you truly trust him? He said, I will give you whatever you ask him. That's what God will give us. That's what God will give him through Jesus Christ. In verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Verse 24, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. She knew that when the trumpet of the Lord just sounds, time will be no more. The dead in Christ shall rise first, the Bible tells us. Jesus had told them about this. Martha said to him, I know. She knows about that. But Jesus says in verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Isn't that wonderful? That God is the resurrection and the life. Jesus Christ is. He says, I am, just as old Moses asked for God's name. He said, I am that I am. All throughout the scriptures, Jesus was very intentional of saying, I am this, I am that. He was, because they understood that, them Jewish people. That's how God spoke. I am, and I am the resurrection and the life. God is, Jesus is. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. Even when we die in this world, we shall live eternally. He says there, though they die, will live. In verse 26, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. What an amazing thing. We'll never die. We're in Christ. We'll never die. We're immortal. This life is just a temporary portion of eternal life. The one who lives and believes in me will never die. It changed our outlook if we really thought of this so often. What's our eyes fixed on? Is it Jesus in eternity, or is it the temporal things of this world? Everyone who believes, do we believe him? Do we live and believe in Jesus? Notice here, he doesn't just say he believes. He says, everyone who lives and believes, our lives are a reflection of our belief. As John Wesley spoke so many times, the faith and works are two sides of the same coin. Bible teaches us faith without works is dead. If our lives are not showing forth that we're following the Lord, that we love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, then the belief must be defective. If our lives are not showing forth faith by how we walk, how we talk, what our lives are so focused on, then the belief may not be there. Are you walking with the Lord? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Are you staying close to him? Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do we believe him? And he asks her, do you believe this? We have to ask ourselves, do you believe this? Do we believe that he is the way, the truth, the life, that he is the resurrection of life, that we can walk with him and believes, and we will never die? Do you believe this? He asked her. We ask the same question. Do you believe it? Do you believe the Word of God? If we truly believe the Word of God, it will shape a different kind of life. than the world around us. If God's looking down from heaven above upon us, and our lives are no different than somebody who has no hope, who has no salvation in Jesus Christ, there's a very serious problem there in our lives. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. It's going to change how we live because we're living eternally. We're getting ready for eternity. Here below, we ought to be living with Jesus right now, not waiting for heaven to meet him. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." So many times people will say, "Well, Jesus, he was a good teacher. He was a mighty fine man, but just don't believe he's the Son of God." I heard that many times. There's many times people say that. That's even said in churches nowadays. God help us. He says here, "Yes, Lord," is what she said, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God." You can't separate Christ. You can't say he's a fine feller and a good teacher. His teachings are very clear. I am the resurrection and the life. If we believe, if we confess we believe his teachings, then we're going to believe that he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one and only, the one coming into the world." He came to the world to die for us on the cross of Calvary. He came and lived a perfect life. He is the resurrection. We can be risen to walk in newness of life. We're buried with him in baptism, risen to walk in newness of life. Buried with him when our sins were nailed to the cross with him. When we put our faith in him and he gives us his righteousness, we're risen to walk. The Bible says to live as risen people. Only do not use your freedom. You live as free people, and we do not use your freedom as an occasion for sin. God has set us free. We ought to live as free people, live as risen people, live as resurrected people. He says here, the Son of God. If we remember what the Son of God did for us when he died on the cross of Calvary, we need to remember, call to mind what Jesus did for us. He rose us from the dead. We're dead, not a little sick. Humanity's not a little sick that needs a little help from the Lord, a pat on the back and a little medicine to go by. No, we are a graveyard, dead in our trespasses and sin without Jesus Christ. When we place our faith in him, we're risen. We are created anew, born again into the family of God. "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah." Can you say that? The Son of God. "Lord, I believe you're the Son of God, the one coming into the world." Lord, help our unbelief so often by how we live our lives. So often a life can reflect a heart of unbelief when our lips can speak belief. We need to be trusting the Lord with our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Our mind, our heart, every bit of us needs to be trusting him. Lord, help us. As that one man prayed in the Gospels, "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief." Help us all to draw closer to him. Verse 28 of this chapter, when she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." Verse 29, and when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. In verse 30, now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. He hadn't come down there yet. In verse 31, the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. She's in a rush. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. She's very grievous. Her brother had died. Verse 32, when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Lord, if you'd only been here at the right time. Lord, if you was just here. But he was there. Spirit, if you'll read back in the early part of this chapter, he knew, but he tarried for a purpose. Sometimes he tarries for a reason. He's tarrying his second coming out of mercy for more to come to his fold. He tarries sometimes for a purpose. We can trust him in the waiting. In verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. Verse 34, he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Then we come here to the shortest verse in the Bible, verse 35. Jesus began to weep. Isn't that amazing? The Son of God, who knew he could rise up again, he cared for him so much that even he began to weep in that moment. Jesus has been in every situation. The Bible says he was in every way tempted, yet found without sin. Every way tempted in the whole way, Hebrews tells us, but yet found without sin. Never once did he sin. Jesus began to weep. It's more than a little sob. It was a weeping, deep crying. Verse 36, so the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Verse 37, but some said of them said, "Could he who had opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" there in verse 38. Then Jesus, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was laying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he had been dead 4 days." As the King James says, he stinketh already. He's already stinking. He's rotting away. The flesh is going away. To dust you are, and to dust you shall return, the Bible tells us in Genesis. That's what God created us from. The very hand of God created us. And to dust we shall return. This body, it'll return to dust. But our soul, if you know Jesus, will go to be with him. He says here, "Lord, already there's a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." In verse 40, Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" If only we would believe, we'd see the glory of God. How many times have we not seen the glory of God for lack of belief? How many times has God tarried to show us his glory, but because of lack of belief, we missed it? We missed the lesson. We missed the blessing because of lack of belief. Do you believe him? "Yes, Lord, I believe." Help us, Father. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Verse 41, so they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me." He thanked the Father there. "Did I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Father, I thank you for having heard me." Verse 42, "I knew that you always hear me." You know, the Bible tells us there's only one mediator and advocate. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's our mediator, advocate. He's on the right hand of the throne of God. We come straight to God, and Jesus Christ is there mediating for us. He says here, "Father, I thank you for having heard me, and I knew that you always hear me. But I've said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me," that they may believe. God wants us all to believe. He wanted them to believe that he sent him, that the Father sent Jesus. He wants us to believe it. He's going to do things in our lives to increase our faith. "Lord, increase our faith," was the prayer so often. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith goes forth. Faith like this cometh not but by prayer and fasting. So often the Bible tells us this. An active faith, a living faith that's not without works. Faith without works is dead, but an active living faith that's active in our lives. We're going to trust God. He's active in our lives. He's fellowship with us. Jesus walked this world below. He ascended into heaven, and he sent the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. He's with us every day. We can trust him. We can follow him. "I've said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." We need to live our lives as a testimony that Christ has risen us, that others may believe that God sent Jesus to die for our sins and rise again. Verse 43, "When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come forth. Come on out of there,' he said." I've heard it said before that he had to be real particular and say Lazarus, otherwise that whole graveyard would have rose up and come out. He said with a loud voice, "Lazarus," notice here, one person, "Lazarus, he called my name. He called your name. He called each one of our names. When we put our faith in him, he says, 'Come forth, come out, come out from the grave.' We're risen to walk in newness of life. We're to live as risen people." He says here in verse 44, "The dead man came out," came on out of the grave. But notice here, the dead man came out. We're risen to walk with Christ. We're risen from the dead when we're saved, from spiritual death, from death, hell, and the grave. The dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, his face wrapped in the cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The dead man came out. He came out of that tomb, but his hands and his feet were bound with strips of clothes, and his face wrapped in a cloth. So many times when Christ raises us from the dead, we still want to wear the old burial clothes instead of putting on the white robe of redemption. So often, people want to walk around. The dead man came out. He wasn't dead no more. He was risen. But his hands and his feet were bound with strips of clothes. So many of God's children running around with their hands and their feet bound with strips of sin, with strips of bondage. God doesn't want us to live in bondage. What did he say? Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." We need not, when we're risen from the dead, when we're risen to walk in newness of Christ, we oughtn't to be walking around in funeral clothes. We need to be walking around as risen people His feet was bound. Where he went was bound. He couldn't hardly wobble around. His hands, he couldn't get his hands busy working for the Lord if they're bound. And his face was wrapped in a cloth. He couldn't see clearly yet till they unwrapped him. When Jesus saves us, he brings all that away. He redeems us from the miry pit of hell. He redeems us and washes us clean by the blood of Jesus. But we don't need to be putting on these old funeral clothes like we're going to be buried again. We need to be living as free people. So many of God's children will be risen from the dead, risen from spiritual death, walking around. But we start tying our hands up again with these funeral cloths and our feet binding them, wrapping them funeral hoods and cloths over our face where we can't see clearly. The Word of God can't see clearly because we've allowed sin to warp in our life. That dead man came out. His hands and feet were bound with strips of clothes and his face wrapped in a cloth. But Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." It's not God's will for any of his children to perish. It's not God's will for anyone to perish. He said, the Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He gives us the free choice to accept or reject him. But when we accept that free choice, he raises us from the dead, from spiritual death. We're all out of the course to hell and onto the course to heaven. But we have the choice to make. Are we going to live as free people? Jesus rose us for a purpose. He waited. He tarried. There's going to be hard times in our life. Sometimes it's not sunshine and roses. Jesus never said it would. Jesus said, "Look how the world treated me. How do you expect them to treat you?" We live in this great country. We have some wonderful freedoms that could be taken away tomorrow. Are we going to live as free people in Jesus no matter what's going on around us? If the Lord tarries his coming and it gets rough around here, are we going to live as free people trusting in him? The good, the bad in this world, we can trust the Lord. We'll use it. Notice here, as I said before, Jesus didn't command old Lazarus to go kill over, but he took his death and used it to bring about betterment for him, for that family, for all those people. All those people. Lord, already there's a stench because he had been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I see, tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you would always hear me, but I've said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe." Sometimes there'll be things in our lives that's unpleasant, but if we'll trust the Lord no matter what, he's risen us, we need to be living for him no matter what may come. He tarried, he allowed Lazarus to die, and he rose him from the dead because he had a purpose for it all. We can trust God. He's active in his creation. We're called sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. He's the one that created heaven and earth. He's the supreme governor of this world. We can trust him with our lives. We can trust with what he's doing. Boy, the choice is ours to live as his children. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of clothes. Are you living fully trusting in the Lord? Or are you wrapped up with something? Are you wrapped up in lack of trust in the Lord and in your life down here below? Jesus said to them, "Unbind them and let them go." Let's all bow our heads. I want to ask you, in the waiting, in the good times, in the bad times, are you trusting in the Lord? She said she knew that God would give him whatever he asked. She knew it. Faith is not just a mere feeling for us. It's an active belief. Do you truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you truly believe his word? Are you living in his freedom that he gives us? He gives us the gift. Take a moment and talk to the Lord. Are you bound by something? Are you fully trusting him? The Lord gave us this wonderful passage. It's amazing the things that he's given us in his word. John tells us that they could never write down how many things Christ did while he was here below. But God chose this story for a reason of what Jesus did. So many to glean from it. So take a moment and glean from it and reflect. If there's something between you and the Lord that needs reconciled. Father, we thank you We thank you that you have redeemed us by the shed blood on the cross of Calvary. We thank you, Lord, that you've risen us. You've risen us from the dead, that we may no more be bound by the chains of death, that we don't have to be walking around in the ways of the world, but we can be free people, free in you. Help us always to live as free people, to live as risen people, live as your people, your children. We thank you of your caring hand in our lives, Lord, that even when it looks bleak down here below, that you're present in our lives, that you're not a distant God some way out yonder that doesn't care about us, but that you're our Heavenly Father who calls us each by name. Just as you called Lazarus forth, you called us all forth, and you call us by our name. Thank you, Father God. Help us to live for you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, to truly love you and to walk in your Spirit. Bless each and every one of these people, your wonderful children gathered here today. Keep us all safe, but Lord, most of all, no matter what in here below, keep us in thy will. Thank you, Lord. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Amen. If you'll stand with me.